You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Kendall Keene, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones with Andrew Joseph and Scotty Bordelon.
Arkansas back at home this week. The Razorbacks will take on Liberty on Saturday afternoon. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff. It'll be on SEC Network. Razorbacks come into this game 5-3 overall. Liberty 7-1. Liberty ranked number 23 in the AP poll, but they're not ranked in the first college football playoff rankings of the season. So you're going to see in some places that they're going to have a number next to their name. You're going to see in other places where they don't. That kind of gives you an idea why. Matt Jones with Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, Scotty Bordelon, and Andrew Joseph of WholeHogSports.com. And Tom, I've got the same feeling about Liberty that I had about BYU a few weeks ago, which is that when you step out of the SEC, if you're an SEC team and you look like an SEC team, and we've heard Sam Pittman mention a number of times this year that he thinks Arkansas looks like an SEC team, there's really just a real big difference, I think, in the athleticism that Arkansas is going to bring to the table versus the athleticism that Liberty has seen or maybe has not seen to this point this year.
Well, that's true. I'm doing some research on that right now, actually, and Arkansas has played one of the toughest schedules in the nation, and Liberty's was ranked 117th in the ESPN Football Power Index strength of schedule. So, yeah, they have BYU in common, and, I mean, Wake Forest was a good team they played and lost by 1 point. So they could legitimately be 8-0. I just don't know if they've played a team that has the power in both trenches the way Arkansas does, and a real dual threat quarterback like KJ Jefferson and a bruising runner like Rocket Sanders. So, you know, if you're Arkansas, you look at this on paper and say, man, we're going to come at them with power. We're going to lean on them with our O-line and establish Rocket Sanders and let KJ do his thing. And the flip side, Arkansas has got to somehow keep their passing game under check. One of the most fascinating aspects of this game is what happens at the Liberty quarterback situation. But look, Hugh Freeze, make no mistake about this. Hugh Freeze is gunning for the Razorback. Like, he knows this can be a super big statement game for his team. He just got a contract extension. The Auburn job is open. And if they can defeat upset Arkansas, you know, there's going to be a lot of buzz about what's going on with him and his program.
Tom mentioned the quarterbacks. He said, Hugh Freeze said on Thursday, that Jonathan Bennett, who's been their primary starter for most of the season, that he's had the flu this week. He's missed at least a couple of days of practice. He'll probably make the trip to Arkansas. They're not sure if he'll play. Charlie Brewer, who was their starter at the beginning of the season, broke his wrist in the first game against Southern Miss, or broke his hand in the first game of the season against Southern Miss. Came back in a very limited role against BYU. I guess there have been some complications with his hand. He may not play, and they're not real sure. And so they may be down to their fourth-string quarterback, a redshirt freshman named Nate Hampton, who's thrown 8 passes this year. And, Scotty, I think you and I looked this up yesterday. I think he's taken 61 snaps during his entire college career.
Yeah, it's not exactly the greatest quarterback situation. But I think, you know, when you put out the story yesterday, right after Hugh Freeze's press conference, that, you know, Liberty's quarterback situation was kind of in flux. I think there was a lot of replies like, you know, I think Hugh Freeze knows what he's doing, and it might be, you know, some gamesmanship going on from him. But I don't have any doubt that, you know, I've never broken my hand before. I've broken an arm before, but I can't imagine breaking a hand and then in like 6 or 7 weeks coming back and just your hand being, you know, as good as new. Like, it didn't surprise me really in the least that Hugh said that, you know, Charlie Brewer's hand was swelling up and he couldn't really grip the football in a way that would, you know, make him effective as they want to be in the passing game. But I've just got this feeling that they're going to be kind of okay at quarterback. And, you know, part of what makes coaches really good is that, you know, whoever their personnel is that's available, they can kind of tailor game plans to that player and that player's skill set, and then just, you know, utilize the skill players that they have around them. And, you know, if they do have to go with the guy at, what did you say, Nate Hampton, when he started the season, I think he was like fourth on their depth chart. if they have to go with him, you know, they've got a pretty good wide receiver. It's almost like you look at their receiving numbers, it's kind of like Treylon Burks at Arkansas last year. Like, he's just far and away their best receiver. And then they've also got Day-Day Hunter at tailback, who's a really, really impressive guy. They may, you know, just kind of load up the offensive game plan on those two guys and just kind of make things as simple as possible for Nate Hampton.
Scotty, I got a kick out of what you said, because I tweeted during Hugh Freeze's presser about, well, hey, there's some complications at BYU. Their backup running back, his name is Shedro Lewis, might not come. His father passed away. And Bennett has the flu. And I didn't even put in this tweet that Brewer's hand is still messed up, swollen. And every reply said, this is a trap. You know, Hugh Freeze knows what he's doing. And, you know, it is interesting that he offered up the thing with Bennett about having the flu. So many other coaches would not want that to be out there. So I don't know if Hugh was just being super honest and saying, or, you know, like laying the sandbag for the Razorbacks. But I don't doubt that they're going to put forth a great effort. The kid, Nate Hampton, is 6'6". So if you see a big dude going out there at quarterback, you know it's him. And then I think Bennett is going to wind up playing. Now, what kind of strength he has after the flu, we don't know. I'm sure they'll give him IVs and whatever it takes to juice him up to, you know, be ready to go. But it's going to be fascinating seeing how they try to move the ball on the Razorbacks, depending on which quarterback's in there.
I think it's kind of interesting too, the timeline of this. I mean, obviously things progress as the week goes, and, you know, you see guys in practice, you kind of get a better feel for their availability. But on Monday, Sam was like, no, I think it's going to be, you know, it's probably be Charlie Brewer or Jonathan Bennett. And then, you know, we talked to Sam on Wednesday, and he was asked if you have like a better feel for Liberty's quarterback situation. And he said he really doesn't. And then it's the next day, and Hugh offered, like Tom said, he offered this up. He offered all this information up. And so it was almost like Hugh was like, okay, Sam, you say you don't have a really good feel for our quarterback situation. Here's all this information. Make of it what you will. Prepare for whoever you want. Prepare for everybody. I guess you'll just really find out for sure on Saturday. I kind of thought the timeline of that was pretty interesting.
You guys are too much into conspiracy theories. You know, I think
football Illuminati over here.
With Bennett, Freeze did make a comment. He said that he thinks they can catch him up on the game plan. He said, but there's really nothing like the live reps. And I guess that's something like what we saw with Arkansas going into the Mississippi State game. They had KJ Jefferson cleared to play, but he hadn't been able to take the live reps during the week of practice leading up to that game, and that's why he didn't. It will be interesting to see how Liberty approaches this. One more note on Shedra Lewis, who may miss the game, the running back who Tom was talking about. He's run for 7 touchdowns this year for Liberty, so he's been a real high contributor in that run offense for the Flames. Let's talk about the Razorback defense for a minute. They're going to get Malik Chavis back this week. Sam Pittman has said that Quincy McAdoo is probably going to see some snaps in the secondary. They got Jaden Johnson, Kari Johnson, and Miles Slusser back last week against Auburn. And it looked to me like I know Auburn's not a real great team. They've had their trouble on offense. But when you hold a team down to 300 or so yards like Arkansas had done through – 3.5 quarters of that game, given where Arkansas has been and given some of the teams that it struggled against, you know, not just Auburn or not just SEC teams, but other non-conference teams, it looked to me, Tom, like maybe they took a step forward defensively last week with getting some of those secondary players back. And now maybe they get a few more reinforcements this week.
I think overall on the road, it was a bit of a step forward. I mean, it's not against the greatest SEC offense. That's for sure. Robbie Ashford threw a couple of slants behind people. He was just off a little bit, and that's just a young quarterback. And I thought they did a pretty good job of containing Tank Bigsby. I remember a McLaughlin tackle on Ashford on the edge. It was a really good solo tackle. They got to Bigsby, gang tackled him pretty good, other than the one touchdown run, on which Arkansas fans pointed out there appeared to be 2 holding calls and 1 blocking the back on that one play. Sam Pittman did say that the returning DBs did not have great games. They would tell you they could play better. I know Slusher had a sack. I think Kari Johnson might have given up the deep ball late in the game that led to that last-second touchdown. But the numbers don't look good for the Arkansas secondary in passing yards allowed. But considering how they've had to patch things together, move guys around, change up their game plans, they're persevering. They're staying in games. And it's my take week after week. How many times that defense can get off the field is a big component in whether they win or not. And I'll give Barry Odom this. Hugh Freeze said on Monday, he's great friends with Barry Odom, but he has changed the way he operates a little bit, and he has no idea what front, like they changed their front so much, which changed your blocking schemes, which makes the quarterbacks have to understand more, which makes your receivers have to be on a better page with the quarterbacks on what your hot reads are and all that kind of stuff. And so it's a little bit confusing the way Barry Odom has changed up fronts, how often they use nickels and dime packages. And so at least there's a planning component that, you know, makes the other team have to, you know, reconcile what they might get against the Razorbacks.
We've written a lot this week on the balance that Arkansas's offense has shown the last couple of weeks. They had 644 yards against BYU, 520 yards against Auburn. It seems like they're really hitting their stride. And, you know, you can kind of take this any different way. You know, offensively, the offensive line's playing well. KJ Jefferson's playing well. They're getting more production out of Matt Landers as a receiver. Jaden Hazelwood has had a couple of good games for them. And then I think one of the big things that's happening right now offensively for this team is that Rocket Sanders is still running the ball really well, but he's also getting some contribution from some of the other running backs that's making it to where he's not having to carry the ball so much like we saw against Auburn, where he barely played in the second quarter. He didn't play in the fourth quarter. I just think with Rashad DeBinion and AJ Green, they're starting to get more out of those two running backs. And this is really looking like that full throttle offense, so to speak, like we thought we could see from Arkansas this year.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you listen to Sam speak, I mean, and there's a question about running backs, you can bet your bottom dollar that he's going to mention Rashad DeBinion. He really likes that young guy. And, you know, he's not had like a game where he's kind of broken out, but just those kind of steady small contributions. And I mean, those small contributions could be a 2-touchdown game, you know what I mean? Or he punches a run in from the 1 yard line, from the 5 yard line, something like that. So yeah, he's, I think they've all been pretty complimentary of one another. Like even AJ Green, he's had his moments this year too. And they've been doing, I think, a really good job of keeping Rocket fresh, which is why he's able to rip off these runs of, you know, 60, 65, 70, 75 yards late in games. And teammates have, you know, have said that, you know, they're really impressed with Rocket's stamina throughout the course of a game. And I think Dalton Wagner said not too long ago that he doesn't remember ever seeing Rocky get tired, is because they're giving him a good amount of carries, but it's not a workload that's super overwhelming for him or that maybe diminishes his impact later in games. But I think you're right about the receivers too. You know, Hazelwood and Matt Landers, I think, have been about as good as they expected when they got him out of the portal. And Landers, as a matter of fact, the last 2 weeks, that he's on the best two-game stretch, or he just put together the best two-week stretch of his career. And he's coming along. Hazelwood, I think, I asked Sam Pittman about him the other day. You know, he said he's kind of had like a Treylon Burks-like impact on that receiver's room, just elevated the play of everybody else too. And that obviously, that trickle-down effect has made Arkansas's passing game improve. And KJ's been putting the ball on the money for the most part, keeping the ball out of harm's way, not throwing interceptable balls. And I think receivers right now are doing a pretty good job of creating separation, getting open, and, you know, giving KJ plenty of space to put the ball, you know, where they can pick up those chunk yard plays.
Yeah, I think this is just the type of game where Arkansas is going to be able to lean on that offensive line and kind of move the ball at will. I looked at the box score of the Liberty Wake Forest game just to kind of gauge how they played each other. And I think Wake Forest only had 28 rushing yards on 24 carries against Liberty, which I just don't see that happening against a vaunted rushing attack like Arkansas's. And then also Sam Hartman did throw the ball for 320 yards and three touchdowns, but he had two interceptions, and KJ Jefferson has one pick all year, I think, in 185 throws. And so he's not going to put the ball in harm's way, like Scotty said. And it kind of seems like a game where if Liberty's going to be in it, Arkansas is going to have to give them a couple to keep them in it. And I just don't see that happening.
I think we're going to look back on this Arkansas team, guys, at the end of this year and then think that this could be among the most talented offensive teams they've ever had. The COVID extra years, you know, played into that. But you think about the offensive linemen, all veteran guys, and, you know, they're not grading great, but they're grading very well. And then there's talent and playmakers at all the skill spots. And Kendall Briles, his work with KJ Jefferson, the consistency on that and his passing efficiency are just really strong. And the one pick was in Trey Knox's hands, okay? That's his one pick on the season. To average 240 on rushing and passing, I remember when Brett Bielema got here, and he said his goal offensively was to be balanced and average 200 yards rushing and passing. Well, they didn't get there. They had some years where they were over 200 on one side and in the 190s maybe on one or the other. They never got there. So last year when they averaged 200 on both sides of the ball, it was the first time that it happened, I want to say, since 71, an astounding statistic for Arkansas. Well, here they are now at 240 on both sides of the ball, and there are very few teams in the country who pull off that stat.
Need to worry about Kendall Browse job security, right? Am I right?
Yeah. Someone referenced, I think, you know, RG3, I think, yesterday tweeted that whoever the Auburn coach is needs to look at Kendall Briles as offensive coordinator. I don't think Kendall Briles would jump down there into that mess. It's a difficult situation, and Arkansas has paid him well, and I think his family likes it here. I think it's going to take a head coaching job to oust Kendall Briles from here.
The Whole Hog Football Podcast is sponsored by Kendall King Design, Displays, Signage, KendallKing.com. That's KendallKing.com.
The Kendall King Group family of companies plays to win, just like our hogs. We know how demanding retail marketing is today. From digital omnichannel creative services, through in-store signing and displays, and finally to social influence, we've got you covered. Our KKG Inc. family of companies, Kendall King, Shopcart Creative, and Soapbox Influence are winning with multiple retailers and brands. We play to win and will be a winning partner for all your retail marketing service needs. Go Hogs!
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
We hope you'll join us at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club next week as Marvin Kasten, the former Razorback fullback, former employee of the Razorback Foundation, now leading an NIL initiative, will join us at the Hilton Garden Inn off of Weddington Drive in Fayetteville. If you want information about that, nwadealpiggy.com. Marvin Kasten will be at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club on Wednesday, November 9th. We hope to see you there. Prediction time now. There are six games in the SEC this week. Five of them are SEC versus SEC matchups. And then, of course, you've got Arkansas versus Liberty. Let's start with the other matchups, and we'll go to the undercards first. Auburn is at Mississippi State. Auburn, of course, fired Brian Harsin this week as the head coach. Cadillac Williams is the interim head coach at Auburn. I think that surprised some people. That he was named the interim. They go into Starkville and play Mississippi State after the Bulldogs have had a week off, Scotty.
Yeah, I'm not going to be surprised in the least if Auburn is a little bit reinvigorated this week. Just kind of, I don't know, after you go through a breakup and you're kind of just kind of looking at what's ahead, you kind of feel like this sense of freedom in a way, I guess. But being reinvigorated and feeling that freedom doesn't help you exactly complete passes at a higher rate or block better on the offensive line, defensive line. So I'm going with Mississippi State. I think Auburn had a really tough time with Arkansas's pass game last week, and Mississippi State's going to do nothing but probably drop back and just tear them apart all afternoon.
Yeah, this is one of my more confident picks. I've got the Bulldogs as well, and I think Auburn just, for lack of a better term, has nothing else to play for in this season, and it's playing for pride at this point, which I just think Mississippi State has more talent and more motivation to continue on in their season.
I was tempted to pick Auburn with an upset just for some of the reasons that Scotty mentioned. You get, you know, kind of the reinvigorated, I think, probably with Cadillac Williams as a coach. And Mississippi State's coming off that bye week, and sometimes you can get teams that have to shake off the rust a little bit after the bye. But Auburn just, they haven't looked like they're worthy of hanging with anybody hardly this year. I know they played LSU close, they played Missouri close, and was kind of gifted a win that day against Mizzou. Well, they've looked really inept against a lot of Power 5 teams, and I think it'll probably be that way against Mississippi State. Maybe one of those deals where Auburn hangs with them for two quarters, maybe three, but I think Mississippi State will eventually pull away and win that one. Kentucky goes to Missouri this week. Kentucky faltering a little bit, although they've lost to good teams for the most part. And Missouri is a team that they've beaten some bad teams, but they're kind of on the upswing right now.
And they've competed. I'm not sure what they've done recently, if they've had any home games of late. Not really super in tune with what Missouri's doing, but I do know that they've competed fairly well at home. But I can't see Missouri coming up with a win against Kentucky. I think this will probably be a game where they control the line of scrimmage and just kind of slowly let Missouri bleed out.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but it feels like I've picked against Kentucky like every week, and I continued that trend just because. And I think Missouri's defense is probably the reason why. They only gave up 10 points to South Carolina, and I know South Carolina's not fantastic, but they were somehow in the top 25 during that game. So I think Mizzou maybe builds off that win, and maybe they get another one.
Missouri's defense is 18th nationally. Kentucky's defense is 19th nationally. Probably going to be a low-scoring game when they play on Saturday. And you've got that chill in the air, you know, with this cold front that's coming through. Who knows? You may have some nasty weather up in Columbia. It seems like the weather there is never what it is here. I think Kentucky wins. I like Kentucky along the line of scrimmage a little bit better than I like Missouri. I think Kentucky's still a good football team. I just think they've lost to better football teams at this point. They didn't play Tennessee nearly as well as I thought they would last week, but you know, I think Tennessee's kind of on a different level right now, a different tier than most of the other teams in the SEC. So I took Kentucky to win there at Missouri. An interesting game down in College Station this week. Florida goes to Texas A&M. And after Brian Harsin is out at Auburn, it seems like Jimbo Fisher probably has the hottest seat in the SEC now.
Yeah, and I think Billy Napier makes that seat even hotter. I really just think that A&M is just kind of, they seem like they're in a tailspin. Can't really get much positive momentum built up. And, you know, if Billy Napier can in some way go for the throat against A&M, I think he's going to take that chance.
Yeah, this is another one where I'm looking back at my picks and I'm not so sure why I picked A&M to win. Like, I think I picked A&M just because it's almost unfathomable to me that they would be 3-6 if they were to lose this game. And there's no way they should be this bad, as bad as they've been. And I just, at some point, they've got to luck out and get a win, maybe.
I've been impressed with the way A&M's competed, even though it's lost some of these games. They played Alabama close, had, you know, them on the ropes at the end there in Tuscaloosa. They played Ole Miss really well last week and ended up losing that game by a field goal. Had a chance, you know, with the ball there at the end, just couldn't do anything with it. I think that Florida is not anywhere near Ole Miss or Alabama level. And I think the fact that A&M's playing at home, the fact that there is some pressure on them right now, I think they pull this off, and I think they beat Florida on Saturday and get one of those big wins that could, you know, potentially take them into that 6-6 bowl type picture. Alabama goes to LSU on Saturday night, but it's not on CBS this year. It's going to be an ESPN game, maybe a prelude to what we're going to see coming up in the next couple of years in the SEC. The Crimson Tide are ranked 6th in the college football playoff, and surprising to a lot of people, LSU ranked 10th. They were the only two-loss team in the top 10 of the first playoff poll.
Yeah, LSU's getting Bama at a bad time. I think they're coming off a bye week and just allowed extra time for Nick Saban and his defensive staff to come up with a plan for LSU. I'm not saying that Alabama will shut LSU out, but I think there is a pretty good chance that LSU doesn't get to double figures. I mean, I think it could be that kind of game. You give Nick Saban 2 weeks to get ready for a team, he's going to be pretty ready for them. He'll have his guys prepared. I don't expect that game to be fairly close.
Yeah, I mean, you never want to play against a Nick Saban coach team, but you also never want to play against a Nick Saban coach team with their backs against the wall. Like, they already lost their one game that they can afford to lose this season. They can't afford a second loss, and I don't see that happening. I think they're going to go out there and probably take it to LSU pretty well.
It seemed like that Tennessee game really got Alabama's attention when they played Mississippi State 2 weeks ago. That looked like the Alabama that we're used to seeing against what I think is a pretty good Mississippi State team, but Mississippi State didn't even look like they belonged on the field with Alabama. It is interesting that Alabama's next two opponents are LSU and Ole Miss, who play Arkansas the following week, and both of those teams get a bye week before they play Alabama. So there's, you know, some Arkansas interest there, obviously some intrigue. I think Alabama goes in and wins this week. I just think they're a better team, a more complete team than LSU is, and I think they'll figure out a way to shut down Jaden Daniels. Always my rule of thumb. It's cost me a game this year in our predictions, but I don't pick against Nick Saban. I just never pick against Nick Saban. I think his teams are just too good, and I think they'll go in and win at LSU. I think LSU is really overrated right now at number 10 in the playoff poll. The big game of the week in the SEC, it's one that people have been looking at ever since Tennessee beat Alabama in Knoxville. The Volunteers are on the road for the first time since that game, and they have to go to Georgia. This is a really unique game because you've got number one versus number one. Georgia number one in the AP poll, Tennessee number two in the AP poll, tied with Ohio State. But in the playoff rankings, Tennessee's number one this week, and Georgia's number three. And if Kirby Smart needed any motivation for his Bulldogs, I think he pulls that out this week. And let's see what you got first, Scotty.
Man, I'm going with Tennessee. And you know, your rule of thumb about not picking against Nick Saban is a very good one. That's when I was in college and was, you know, picking games that had a little money on them. My deal was like never bet against Nick Saban in Alabama, and I might regret picking against Georgia. But I don't think that right now you can find a more impressive team in college football on both sides, on either side of the ball, than Tennessee. Like, they can put up points, and then on defense, they are tough, they're fast, they're nasty. And I think they can match Georgia man for man, or if not man for man, pretty dadgum close. And their skill players are ridiculous. Jalin Hyatt is, I think, one of my favorite guys to watch in the league right now whenever I get a chance. He's a deep ball touchdown waiting to happen. And Hendon Hooker is, I think, kind of putting on a show right now. And I wouldn't be surprised in the least if Tennessee wins. So I'm going with Tennessee. I think they're legit.
Yeah, I think I said last week I was all on the Tennessee hype train and kind of hyping them up to be a special team. But with that being said, I do have Georgia winning this game, and I think it's because it just feels to me like Georgia is in a more comfortable situation in this top five matchup of a high stakes game. Tennessee did have a big matchup against Alabama and they came out on top, but that was kind of a once in a lifetime game. I feel like it was at home. The environment was special. It was just kind of maybe like a game of destiny for them. And I just don't see it happening on the road at Georgia, where they're just kind of maybe in unfamiliar territory.
this is one of my favorite rivalries in the SEC. This is one of those, it's kind of one of those under the radar type rivalries. You know, everybody talks about Auburn, Georgia, and Alabama, Auburn, and Alabama, Tennessee, and all these. Tennessee, Georgia is a great rivalry, and it goes back a lot of years, and they've had a lot of fun. But I want to tell you something. Since Kirby Smart's been at Tennessee, I want to just read you the scores real quick. In 2016, Tennessee won when Josh Dobbs threw the Hail Mary on the last play of the game, 34-31. Since then, in the Georgia-Tennessee series, 41-0, 38-12, 43-14, 44-21, 41-17. I don't think Tennessee has made up that much ground on Georgia, and I think Georgia is irritated that Tennessee is number one in the playoff, and they go out in front of a big home crowd, and they make a statement. And I think they might win this game by 2 or 3 touchdowns on Saturday.
That would be pretty wild. And I'm honestly, I'm really, really irritated that this game is at 2:30 and the Arkansas game starts at 3. Like, that's the game of the weekend, and we're going to have to watch Day-Day Hunter run the ball instead of, you know, Hendon Hooker and Stetson Bennett and Brock Bowers, you know, do whatever in the world that, I mean, there's not much that those guys can't do. And it's just, it's kind of irritating. I wish Arkansas could kick off at like 8 o'clock in the morning so we could watch that Tennessee Georgia game.
Like NFL London time. You know, but that's the deal. When you play these games, especially in November, you're going to get that 3 o'clock game on SEC Network because it's the least appealing game there is in the SEC this week. Arkansas against Liberty. We'll go there now. The Razorbacks, of course, back at home. It's their first game in Fayetteville since October the 1st. They've been so good at home under Sam Pittman, and they've been so good against non-conference teams under Pittman. They have not lost to a non-conference team under Pittman. Remember 2020, they only played SEC teams. They didn't get to play in the bowl game against TCU. Last year, they were 5-0 against non-conference teams. This year, they're 3-0. And Scott, do you think they make it 4-0 Saturday?
Yeah, I do. And you know, I think Arkansas opened as a 2-touchdown favorite over the weekend. I thought that's probably where it should have been. And I have no worries about Arkansas being able to move the football on offense. And I think Arkansas just creates its separation, you know, whenever they can get a quick 3-and-out on defense. And, you know, I think that's where Arkansas creates that separation. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a 17-20-point game.
Yeah, I think Arkansas wins by a comfortable margin here. I think things are kind of aligning for them that maybe, like, Liberty's coming in as a top 25 opponent, which gives them some extra incentive to play against maybe a lower-level team than they would have been if they're coming in unranked. And so Arkansas maybe will take this game a little more serious than they would have. And to get that win on their resume will probably look a little better on paper than it would have really will be, because I don't think Liberty's really deserving of a top 25 ranking at the moment. But I do think Arkansas is gonna win that game.
I think Liberty might be the worst offense that Arkansas has seen this year. That's not necessarily a slight at Liberty. It's just the fact that Arkansas has seen some really good offenses to this point in the season. And I don't think Liberty has seen a team as athletic as Arkansas. No offense to Wake Forest, but Wake Forest isn't anywhere near Arkansas's athleticism. I like the way Arkansas's defense seems like it's taken a couple of steps the last few weeks. The offense is playing at a really high level. I think this game comes down to turnovers. You look back at the Cincinnati game, Arkansas won the turnover battle. They won that game. Missouri State, Arkansas had 600 yards of offense, but they lost the turnover battle 3-0, and that's why the game was close at the end. And then against BYU, that's really the recipe for success. They forced a few turnovers against BYU, had a great game offensively, and they won that one really going away. And I think that's probably going to be the case on Saturday against Liberty. I feel like Liberty's going to have to force a lot of turnovers. They're going to have a lot of things go right for them in order to be able to win this game. I think Arkansas is a much better team than Liberty, and I think Arkansas might cover that point spread. Point spread may have gone up in the last couple of days with all the questions around Liberty's quarterback. I'm not sure, but I think Arkansas probably wins by at least a couple of scores if they're able to hold on to the football, which they've been pretty good at that since that little stretch where they weren't in late September and early October. Arkansas and Liberty, 3 o'clock Saturday. As we said, SEC Network will be the channel. The Razorbacks going for their 6th win, which would put them in bowl eligibility. Same weekend last year when the Razorbacks got bowl eligible with that win over Mississippi State. Hope you come to WholeHogSports.com throughout the weekend to read our coverage from this game, not just this game, but also our basketball coverage leading up to the Razorbacks basketball season opener on Monday against North Dakota State. Also hope you'll check out the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America, which is our basketball podcast, obviously. And we recorded that this week, our first one of the season. You can find that on the same channel where you find this football podcast. Again, hope you'll visit us this weekend at our website. And until next week, for Tom Murphy, Andrew Joseph, and Scotty Bordelon, I'm Matt Jones. And we'll see you again on the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.